You are listening to the Team Flower Podcast, where we talk about flowers and the people who have dedicated their lives to sharing them with the world. We believe that our work with flowers matters, and we're cheering each of you on. Hi, I'm Janine, and today Kelly is talking with Lewis Miller of Lewis Miller Design. Lewis Miller Design is one of the premier floral design houses in New York City. Lewis has recently written his first book, published by Rizzoli New York, titled Styling Nature, A Masterful Approach to Floral Arrangement, as well as become the web director for Urban Stems and launched his designs at the new retail shop, The Conservatory. Lewis is also the creator of The Flower Flash, street art installations made of flowers. The goal for The Flower Flashes was to create just a sliver of magic and offer it to everyday New Yorkers and the tourists that visit this great city, and really to bring joy and surprise to urban neighborhoods and their city dwellers. Be sure to follow him on Instagram at Lewis Miller Design so you can see all of the beautiful flower flashes. In this episode, you'll hear what inspired Lewis to pursue a career in the floral industry. Lewis is sharing his heart behind the flower flashes. He's talking about why and even how they happen, where the inspiration comes from, and the goals he hopes to accomplish with each flower flash. He's chatting about a few of his most memorable flower flashes and how they have evolved throughout the years. As you listen, you can't help but be encouraged to love on your own community through your work with flowers. This podcast is brought to you by Team Flower, an online support community dedicated to educating, connecting, and empowering flower lovers worldwide. We provide online classes, in-person events, and weekly free resources dedicated to support you in your journey with flowers. Whether you're a professional florist, flower farmer, or simply just love flowers, there's space for you here. Come join the party at teamflower.org. Lewis, it is so great to have you on the podcast today. Welcome.
Thank you. And it's so good to be on the podcast. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your story with flowers. You've been in the floral industry for more than 20 years. I always love chatting with people who have been working with flowers for a long time. I think it's really, really inspiring to hear how you've sort of navigated change throughout different seasons of time. And we really appreciate you for hanging in there and going for it. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
I know, it's crazy. I'm one of the old guys now. My flower background started at a very early age. I mean, I grew up in Central California and my family, they were all very, very avid gardeners. And they love to grow and I love to cut them and bring them inside. So from the age of five, six, or seven, flowers were following me in the house. So it was in my DNA at a very early age. And from there, you know, I worked a lot in nurseries and landscaping, and I went to school for horticulture and landscape design. And I never really thought I was going to make a living in the flower world because I didn't really actually know, other than like kind of the florist in town, I didn't really know you could actually have a career out of that. However, when I was in my teens, I was addicted to HG Magazine, which then turned into House and Garden Magazine, which has then folded, sadly, 10 or so years ago, maybe less than that. But I used to see these fabulous articles that Robert Isabel used to do. And I was like, oh my God, someday, like, that's what I want to do. You know, go into these beautiful, iconic spaces and just basically fill the room full of flowers and linens and candles and create these amazing, gorgeous, drop-dead experiences that, you know, that are over at midnight. And that just seems so beautiful and lush and glamorous to me. So, you know, fast forward to 10 years later, 2000, I moved from Seattle, to where I was living and working at the time, to New York. I started my business in 2002. And, you know, I just started doing flowers kind of under the radar. I had a small shop in East Village. And I was there at that location for nearly 17 years, between that location and one right next door to it. And the gist of my business really over the past, you know, the past almost 20 years has been exclusively event and floral design for parties and weddings, mostly social, not so much corporate, a little bit of corporate. And I've had a lot of fun with it, really had a great time with it. and kind of, you know, stayed under the radar, which for me is a very, very comfortable place to be. Mm-hmm. However, a couple of years ago, then, you know, we were going through this, you know, tough election process. And I, as a designer and as an individual and as a business, was, you know, not one of the new kids anymore. And I was really feeling kind of a responsibility of what to do next, and kind of creative. It was a combination of feeling of what to do next and how to kind of re-energize myself creatively. And that's kind of when the Flower Flash and the street art installation started. So that was 2.5 years ago. And so then, as a little sidekick, I've started to do these, you know, pop-up flower installations throughout the city. That's ironically kind of what everybody knows me for these days, even though the, you know, 18 years of work prior to that have been my bread and butter. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell. That's my career to date.
Let's chat a little bit more about the flower flashes, and then we'll circle back to a couple other things that you mentioned. But the flower flash, the premise for anybody who might not be familiar with it is, Lewis, how would you would pick a spot in New York City and you would just cover spaces with flowers. And it was kind of like just a surprise. Would you go like in the darkness of night, or like how did...
Yeah, I know. Exactly. It's a little bit like there. It's a lot of things. Yeah. You know, it's like to explain the flower flash, you have to come at it from 5 or 6 different angles. Uh-huh. You know, like I said, angle number one was, and it's in no specific order, because if I could say them all at the same time, I would. Angle number one, how to give back in a way that's meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. That's not just a generic contribution, but in some way that is going to bring a smile to people, bring joy to people. It was, you know, years of being in the floral business and that kind of typical Friday night, or you're cleaning out the cooler and you have leftover flowers and you're taking an armload of peonies or garden roses or anything really quite beautiful, and you're wrapping them in brown paper and you're walking out and you're going home with them. And you realize when you're on the subway, what a joyful thing, how much happiness those flowers bring the people that you pass. Now, being in this industry, you know, I feel like our eyes, you know, speaking for myself, I'm with flowers and beauty all the time. So you tend to get a little bit immune to that. Yeah. And then when you realize that, wow, it really is special. And then, you know, I'm very fortunate to have a wonderful clientele that can afford these amazing parties and have this luxury of seeing this kind of stuff often, but most people don't. Mm. And you know, I remember when I was an early teen, like how infatuated I was with flowers, even though I was growing them, even though I was surrounded with them. And I remember driving across town to my friend's house. Her boyfriend had brought over some leftover stargazer lilies, of all things, from his job. He worked at a restaurant. And these things were on their last leg. Now, I would no more drive across town to pick up some half-dead stargazer lilies than the man on the moon nowadays. But sort of like, you know, I have to think back to like what compelled me, what was so, what is so uplifting and brings such joy about flowers. So it was really like, not only was it giving to people who didn't necessarily have this interaction with flowers on a day-to-day basis like I did, but also for myself, you know, the joy of seeing flowers in an environment that wasn't necessarily a tent pitched in East Hampton or a ballroom on the Upper East Side or some private club or some, you know, posh living room. And that juxtaposition of the New York grit and city and energy, which I love, combined with the lushness and the beauty and the ephemeral nature and the painter quality of flowers, which is the exact opposite of all that, and the sort of clash or mash of those two worlds into kind of one moment really kind of excited me. And having flowers be positioned in a way and in a place where you would least expect them, to kind of turn the corner and have that, oh God, only in New York moment. Like, yeah. What is this doing here and how amazing? So yeah, so that was one and a half kind of angles of how it was started. The other one was really, I feel like, you know, in the age of social media and Instagram, you know, flowers, and I'm very supportive of it. Flowers and the flower culture has really taken off over the past 5-6 years. And it's been really heavy-handed in fashion and in the art world. And obviously there seem to be more and more florists now. And I think it's so excellent. People are growing flowers and the whole movement is huge. With that and with social media and with, you know, turning on your Instagram account or Facebook, you see you're really assaulted with so many images. Mm. And after a while, it kind of all starts to look the same. So as me as a designer and a creative person, I'm just like, I'm itching to create fresh content, even if it's not expected. Even if it could be a complete catastrophe, there's a 90% chance it will, but I just need to do this for myself. You know, I need to do something that kind of gets me happy and alive again. But at the same time, I don't want this to be a serious thing because it is a gift to people. It is, you know, I'm doing this kind of as an experiment, as just see what happens. So there is really kind of no expectation, which is also very free because you're doing something and there's not necessarily a monetary transaction. So there's a lot of liberty. If people like it, great. If they don't, no problem. And then really the last part of it is the whole idea that in my business and in creating events, it's so time consuming and there's so much planning that goes on and it's so tedious and it's just really like a lot of energy and effort put on every tiny minute detail. And the Flower Flash is named just that because it's done very quickly. And as a floral designer, I, in my very nature, am a very fast designer. I can make bridal bouquets fast. I can make boutonnieres fast. I can hand wire fast. I mean, it's just, I'm skilled at it and I'm quick at it. And I like designing fast. And over the years of being a business owner and working on different projects, and as the way things go, it's like the more successful and the more busy I get, the less time I actually am working with flowers. I'm spending more time doing all the other stuff, from human resources to client negotiations and everything in between. So it was a way for me to get my hands back into the kitchen again, so to speak, and also do something I love and do it quickly. Like, so these flashes happen in 15 to 20 minutes. They're not overly thought out. You know, you're not driving yourself. It's not a photo shoot where you're styling every stem with a pair of tweezers. It's fast. It's guttural. You know, the idea is that it's not perfect, that it's joyous, and that it's really kind of just this, like, you know, explosion in a very unexpected place. More or less, that's kind of like how it all started.
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you by Team Flowers Arbor and Ceremony Online Class. In this comprehensive course, we'll cover all the essentials for ceremony designs, arbors, and large-scale arrangements. We'll talk garlands, entry arrangements, metal and fabric arbors, wreaths, and more. After this course, you'll be ready for all those large-scale requests a bride shoots your way. Together, we'll dive deep into mechanics and discover tried and true tricks to keep your blooms happy and hydrated and your arrangements steady and secure. We'll also share pricing and supplies on all the pieces we create so you're equipped to price your own designs profitably. Say goodbye to intimidation. Large scale is not such a big deal after all. With these tools and techniques in your tool bag, you'll be whipping up unique ceremony configurations in no time. Head over to teamflower.org/online to learn more.
Yeah. Well, I love that, some of those key points, like the juxtaposition between just that really bright, beautiful thing coming out of a trash can or, you know, like, yeah. you yeah. know, yeah. A park bench or wherever that you might see. I think that that is a really fun concept. And then just that idea that it's something that's free for anybody. It's level playing field for like the world. I love that. I love that it's fast and you use the word guttural. And I think that, you know, just that thing that comes from your gut really quick, it's like a smile can come out of your gut really quick. And I just sort of imagine these as just like big smiles from the gut, you know? it's like a reflection.
Smiles from the gut. That's a great, it's a dopamine rush. I mean, it's a little bit of a high. Yeah. It's fast. You know, you don't quite know if it's legal. Right. So there's kind of a happy gray area. Uh-huh. You know, you're like, all right. So it is dark. We do, you know, we do them very early in the morning, you know, depending on the time of year and what time the sun comes up. You know, it can be as early as 5. Sure, it's later. It could be 6:30, closer to 7. But I need it to be dark. I don't like to have a lot of commotion around me. Sure. That's nerve-wracking, and you really have to get in the zone because you're just, you know, you get a lot of weird looks. I get a lot of weird looks when I'm doing this. There's usually 3 of us doing it, and I'm shoving in flowers and I'm so in the zone, and I got a couple of people behind me just handing me stuff. And as I just like jam and it's like, do it fast, you know, sweep up and, you know, adios.
Get out. Yeah. I love that you said you don't quite know if it's legal or not. And that is but yes, that's so funny. Imagining somebody with, you know, just a really kind, bright armload of peonies being hauled off, you know, in the back of a cop car.
I'm not gonna say that it hasn't crossed my mind that I might not get a certain sense of crazy excitement out of that. So, you know, if it happens, who knows? It's not on my bucket list, but if it happens, I'll write it down and cross it off.
I love that. That's so funny. Oh my goodness. That's hilarious. Oh, so fun. Well, we'll put some pictures up on the blog along with the transcripts from the podcast. We'll put those up so that anybody who's looking for them can see them. But tell us your Instagram, because I know you post them when you do them. Where can we find pictures of these?
Yeah, they're all on my Instagram, which is Lewis Miller Design, Lewis Miller, Miller Design. And I think we've done close to 60 now.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, scroll back a ways over the past almost 3 years, you'll see them all.
Wow. Is there one that you just sort of in your mind have marked as like particularly memorable for some reason?
I mean, oh gosh, I don't know. You know, it's end of the day. They have to just be beautiful. And the ones, you know, one of my favorite, God, they're kind of like children. Yeah. you love them all. I mean, I think that, I don't know, I probably have a top three. I think one of my top ones was the sunflowers that I did in August a couple of years ago. And it was just in the middle of a construction zone of the West Village.
That sounds cool.
And it was a hot August day and I was leaving for Italy the next day. So it just felt very much like, all right, you know, of the moment. We just did one. I really like Mother's Day, the three bears in Central Park. And I just love what, you know, I love garlands and they're to me, garlands are so old fashioned. They are reminiscent of ancient Rome or beautiful Victorian, you know, celebrations. And so to create garlands that are really heavily studded and laden with flowers is a lot of fun. And so a couple of the flashes are, have been garlands. One has been the Alice in Wonderland sculpture in Central Park was a thick garland one. One was that I just did it on Mother's Day was the three bears near the Metropolitan Museum of Art, also in Central Park. And they were just these really fat, sumptuous garlands just studded with, you know, the most delicious blooms of peonies and garden roses, fritillaria and protea. And so those, to me, that kind of really appeals to my more classical, traditional beauty side. Mm-hmm. And then the sunflowers, where they're like graffiti or the Gerber daisies against the wall of graffiti. There's something that's just very kind of bright, you know, and pop art that I love about that. And then, you know, the bins, the waste bins, which we call them garbage cans, but we were informed by the Department of Sanitation, they're called trash bins.
Okay.
yes, they have a technical. I don't even know if that's right. I think it's waste bins or trash bins or something. I'm sure I'm messing it up. So if anybody from the Department of Sanitation is listening, my apologies. We kind of developed a relationship with them over the years. Which is why I bring this up anyway, but you know, doing the bins, they're the biggest crowd pleaser, so to speak. And it's funny because when I started that, I remember that exact moment I was crossing the street. It's when my studio was in the East Village. I had walked across the street to the deli to grab, I don't know, a coffee or a Diet Coke or something. And I was walking back and seeing your, you know, the typical moment, New York street corner with the mesh bin overflowing with disgusting crap. And I'm just like, what if that were flowers instead of garbage? Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of the idea of replacing, you know, something really ugly with something really beautiful. And my first bin was actually on Valentine's Day 2 or 3 years ago. And it's very, it looks very different than the bins that I've done most recently. It's not nearly, it was kind of flowers used as garbage. So it's more of like a garbage bin overflowing with flowers. And now it's kind of turned into the garbage bin acts as the base and the flower. So proportions nowadays, or it quickly turned into it as the bin has become a receptacle for this enormous, larger than life arrangement.
Yeah.
So you can kind of see the evolution of that, but that's always a lot of fun. And I guess what I really like about that, and what's important to the flashes, for the flashes for me, is that they are very, you know, they're a very, I want them to be a very iconic New York thing. And I would love if it, you know, in the years to come, it's just remember that guy who did these flower arrangements in the city. And I want it to be a New York thing because I love this city. Yeah. And there's something about these, like these wire trash bins that kind of remind me of, you know, the subway tokens that we don't have anymore, or the Metropolitan Museum of Art little metal tags that we would clip on our collars, which we don't have anymore. And like these things that are kind of classic New York City. Mm. And so that's, you know, that's a lot of fun for me. And it's fun for me to do this for this town that I've adopted as my town, and I'll, you know, probably be here for many more years. And it's fun because it does share the wealth, and it really, I'm always surprised, to be perfectly frank, I'm really surprised at how much joy it gives people. Because, you know, when I'm in the mode of doing it and just doing life and doing work and doing business and stopping doing a flash here and there, you kind of forget that people are actually looking and paying attention to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so when I hear from people or I see the comments on Instagram, it's sort of like, gee, okay, this is why we're doing it. It's like it really genuinely makes people smile, which I feel like right now there's so much chaos and confusion in this, you know, day and age. And I don't like to beat that drum, but anything we can do to, you know, make a little bit cheerier. Yeah. Hey, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is. That's one of the things that we get to do as people, you know, as flower people, we get to bring that moment of just peace and happy. And I just think it's so fun. And that's one of the reasons why something that we say at Team Flower a lot is that floral work is important work. And I think it is very important now that we step up to the plate and that we are involved in our cities and our communities and getting flowers out to as many people as we possibly can. And, I think it's fun too how, you know, maybe a thing that you weren't expecting, like a side effect of the project, is that you've, you know, developed relationships with unlikely places in the city, like, you know, the Department of, you know, Waste, or it's just, you know, these different things. I think it's so fun too, like whenever we host conferences in different parts of the country, I love to bring the community into it in some way, shape, or form, because I think that culture of kindness that we carry as the floral industry can go into some of these other industries that are around as well, and they can kind of lift and lighten the load of the people who are picking up the trash and managing the logistics 100%. Of all of that. And it's beautiful what happens whenever we see a need out there that we feel really particularly connected with, like that first day that you saw the trash can and that you had that thought of, you know, what if that was flowers? And instead of just the what if, it was like, all right, well, let's try it. Let's go and see what happens. And I just love how that consistency, I think that consistency takes you so much further than perfection ever will. And I think that, you know, that one of the things with this project, you said that it's not, you know, it's not a perfect piece, but you've done it 60 times and it has become something that is known, not just in New York City, but in so many places all over, as being something that is really iconic and is really special. And I'm headed either late tonight or early tomorrow morning, I'm headed into the city, and boy, wouldn't it be so fun if I happened to see one of those. I would be like so excited to see that.
Well, I'll give you a little hint. Stick around. I hope you're here next week.
Oh, okay.
Dot, dot, dot.
So, okay. Yeah. I'll keep my eyes peeled as I'm going around.
I know.
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you in part by the Team Flower Conference, where flower lovers from all over the world gather together for education, connection, and celebration. Hear stage presentations from industry leaders on inspirational and educational topics in both design and business. Connect with like-minded professionals and think tank discussions, and share your own questions, dreams, and advice with your peers. Network with industry support, enjoy flower theme celebrations, and receive encouragement for wherever you are in your journey with flowers. At the Team Flower Conference, you'll have the opportunity to make history as together we create the future we want to see in the industry, one step at a time. Whether you're a farmer, florist, wholesaler, wholesaler, floral artist, or someone who just loves flowers, you're welcome here. There's something truly magical that happens when we all come together, and we'd love for you to join us. You can find the latest information at teamflower.org/conference.
You know, there's so many people I want to see, and I really wish I you know, this is kind of next. I want to find a way. See, here's the thing about a flower flash is that actually a lot of soul searching has gone into this. So, you know, once we started, then you know, to keep it authentic, you know, it's the most important thing, and really kind of like why we're doing it and how we're doing it. And for me as a creative person to overly plan these, it loses its magic. So
yeah.
I'm kind of one of those people like, you know, let's talk about it big picture a couple weeks out, but be extremely big, and then let's not talk about it until 2 days before, or preferably the day before. You know, because this goes back to the whole idea was that it needs to be very up the moment and like, you know, encapsulate all the energy of essence of what's happening in this moment in time, as opposed to just like, okay, and you know, and there are some that we have planned out more, and there's some that we've done some partnerships with other businesses, and you know, we have received money for some, which the idea of that, it's a very Robin Hood, you know, kind of idea, is take the money for the flashes so that we can actually put that towards future flashes. So it's not a profit, but you know, those aren't as much fun as just when you're doing it with leftover flowers, or I'm supplementing myself and I have nobody to answer to, and it's just like you're just kind of free reign, do what feels great. And I think that shows, you know, it's like, it's interesting. I feel like the ones that are the most inspired are the ones that are the most last minute, because that's kind of like, I can tell the ones that are the most success, my energy level was the highest in the making of those. And it's so strange. And so it's like, as weird as social media is, and I am not going to say that I have mastered it, nor do I want to in any sense of the word, but you know, I think that authenticity and genuineness does show through, and vice versa. So at least for me on these things. So that's just kind of a sidebar.
Yeah, no, I think all that's so good. And so many things that we do with flowers in this industry, I feel like the rub is that, you know, you want to go to market and you want to pick out what's so beautiful that week, but yet you have to sell a product that, you know, several months in advance oftentimes, and you're planning out and you're getting the linen samples in and you're, you know, doing the site visits and all these things so far ahead of time. And it's so delightful, I think, to be able to do something that truly is of the moment. And I think that's a really important part of it. So that surprise is good for everyone. I think it's good for the designers and good for the people who get to see and experience it. I love that. So sweet. How would you encourage somebody to get involved maybe in their local community?
Oh, golly, that's a great question. I mean, you know, and that's honestly something that's kind of beat at me for years, because our community is so large here in New York. It's like I live in one community, I work in another community. I mean, I guess, you know, would you say as this pertains to flowers or just in general?
I think I would say like as it pertains to flowers, but you can interpret the question however you'd like.
I mean, I really feel like, you know, something that we've been doing, because the more I'm doing the flashes and more I want to start to tie them into, you know, they do bring joy and they are a gift for the people, but I do want to tie them more and more into various charities to bring awareness to whatever cause, you know, that may be tied to. But I've been teaching a lot of flower classes, and one thing I've been doing at each class is that we make a small bud vase. That's the first thing we do before we get into the actual session of the class. Is we make a small bud vase. Everybody makes one, and they all go to Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital to patients, to bedsides. And doing that that's the most, I don't know, it's just the simplest thing. And I just wish that I could get every designer once a week to make a dozen bud vases, or anybody who loves flowers. And, you know, it's like, and take them to a hospital, take them to, you know, a children's hospital, an old folks home. It takes very, very little overhead. You know, if you're new in the flower industry and you're wanting to experiment with flowers, it's something you can do on your kitchen counter. It doesn't take a lot of flowers. It it's an easy thing to make something look very good, and you put them in a box and hop in a cab or get in your car and you deliver to the hospital. And what a better way to like learn your craft and pass it to somebody, you know, experiment, learn, grow, and give them away and have them bring joy, because these are tough times. And we're saying that these are tough times, and generally all of us that are complaining about the tough times are very able-bodied, successful. We're living just fine. We're not dealing with real issues here. And there are so many people that actually are living with real issues and having tough times of it. So I think it's a little bit about putting your money where your mouth is and just, you know, doing stuff like that. And it's not so much about the glory, but it's about bringing that little two stems of daffodils, you know, a smile to somebody's face. And I think I would like to see a lot more of that in our community, because there is a lot of waste, you know, flowers that go to the into the garbage after events, or even in the flower markets, flowers that don't get sold, which is where a lot of my flash flowers come from. You know, they just get thrown away. And I don't even know if half the time they get composted. So, you know, and yeah, I think that would be to keep it simple, something that I feel like if anybody were really interested in doing something that would make big difference, that would be my suggestion.
Yeah, I think that's really good. You gave me that like little like lump in throat kind of feeling. So I know that like, I know that you're talking to me. I know that you're talking to this community, and Team Flower has people who are listening right now, step up to the plate, and they're leaders and they want to make a difference. They want to do it. And so
I think that's so nice. And I want to encourage him. But one thing I just want to say here, because just, you know, me being now, you know, in my mid 40s and having been in this industry for a long time, it's always been, you know, it's been a little bit of a, I've seen it for years now, it's kind of been a little bit of a spiteful industry, you know, people kind of like pretending to be friends and then nipping. And I feel like that those days are over.
Amen.
Maybe it's me, but I want those days to be over. And I think it's like, we are a community and we are so blessed to work with basically the most beautiful thing that nature can provide. And we are spreading the love and spreading the joy. And I just, the more we can all come together and, you know, put our egos aside and put our need for any other whatever aside and just come together as a community, befriend each other more, be kinder to each other more, and pay it forward to people outside of the community more. It's really kind of my hope.
Yes.
And I'm speaking to myself, you know, I'm not preaching to the audiences as much as this is like it. Like I said, you know, I'm talking to me. And that's kind of my goal for out of all of this. That would really make me feel like I've done something.
I love that. That's beautiful. I agree with you. I do think those days are over and we're moving forward. And I think that the momentum that we get as we walk forward in that is going to be really, really impactful. So I'm so excited to hear these kinds of conversations more and more, and to hear people's hearts for what it is that they're doing, because I am kind of hearing this and starting to see it move just more and more. And it's so encouraging and liberating in a way. I think that we'll all become really creative.
Liberating is the best word. Yep. It does. It just, you know, just hear like releasing the social pressure, if that's the right term, you know, like by saying those words and, you know, and accepting this sort of like, we're all in it together immediately. You feel lighter, you feel freer, and you just feel like, okay, this is great. We're working with flowers. Let's go spread the love.
So good. So good. Oh, I've loved having you on and chatting with you. You are personally one of my very, very favorite designers. Just getting to know you a little bit better today in our conversation, just my admiration swells even more. I just so appreciate everything that you are, everything that you have given, everything that you continue to give, every risk that you have taken, every light night that you've stayed up, every bucket that you've washed, every single little thing that comes as a part of this. You know, I appreciate every failure that you have risen from, and all the things that you've learned, and just that you carry for our industry and for New York City. I think that your life is really important, that matters. And we love you a lot here at Team Flower, and we're so very grateful for
you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Before we sign off today, I did want to mention that Lewis has a new book coming out. Has it come out yet, Lewis? The Blooms book? What's your...
Oh, the Blooms book is out. So yeah, that's a beautiful book. So it's not, I'm just very honored to be one person of many in that book. So Fight On is the publisher. It came out a couple of weeks ago. I think there might be 40 or 50 different designers featured in it. And I'm so honored to be one of them. But it's really, you know, the premise behind the book is sort of the new way, the new approach to floral design these days. And, you know, socially, environmentally, in various different ways of coming through the industry. So, you know, a lot of my friends in the industry, Ariella Shazar is in it. Emily Thompson is in it. Putnam and Putnam is in it. Those are New York ones. And there's several more New York ones. And there's a lot of florists from all over the world. So it's really, and you know, it's a really beautiful book. I mean, and I don't say that very often, I feel like, about a lot of flower books, because after a while, they kind of all look the same. This one is really fun because it is such a broad spectrum of designers and such a wide range of styles. And then it's just so beautifully curated, and I highly recommend, you know, it's a great source of inspiration and education.
My number one, like, top shelf book is your Styling Nature book. I love that book. Truly, it's my very, very favorite book. Just the level of detail and care that I feel like is put into every single, not just the arrangement and the choices that are in there, but how it's photographed, what you've paired it with. I mean, it's just really excellently done.
Thank you. Now that was so inspirational. Collaboration. My dear friend Don Freeman, he is a beautiful photographer and he did the most beautiful work. And that was really from day one, you know, when I just started my business, he was shooting images for me because I needed content. We didn't call it content back then, but I needed images. And so, you know, this came about and it really is, you know, it's 10 years of us working together and just, you know, we just have photo shoots where we wanted to create something beautiful. And this was long before the Instagram days. And this was, a lot of them were long before digital camera. We were shooting film. So thank you. That was very nice. No, it was a great project, and be on the lookout for.
Yeah. Absolutely will be. Thank you so much for being here today. And to all of you who are out there listening, know that the work that you do matters. And let's join with Lewis on his mission to just get a dozen vases out, just a dozen bud vases out to a hospital or nursing home or wherever it is that you feel called to serve in your community. I know that this summer with the Team Flower Workshops, we will do that, Lewis, before we get started with the rest of the program. We'll get those bud vases out. We'll get them ready to go. So we're with you.
Awesome. Excellent. Yes. And you guys and everybody, like, you know, send me an Instagram picture of it. I want to see a revolution here. I want to see a movement.
I love it so much. So good. All right. Well, everybody, we will talk to you later.
Thank you, Kelly, so much.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for listening to the Team Flower Podcast.
If you enjoyed today's episode of the Team Flower Podcast, would you help us by leaving a rating and review? The more ratings and reviews, the easier it is for other flower lovers to find the podcast. Thanks for being a part of Team Flower and helping us build this dream together. We're so grateful.